Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur with our very last show of 2019, with our very last show of the decade. I hope it's been good for you, and I thank you, as always, for deciding to spend time here with me and my guest today. And I hope you continue to do it into 2020. Without further ado, let's get into it. My guest today is a home transition expert and an entrepreneur. She's the creator of The Perfect Listing, the total home transition process, and founder and CEO of Done in a Day. Since 2005, she's partnered with over 2,000 homeowners and their agents with her unique approach to preparing the house to sell for top dollar. She's also been featured in national and local media, including The Wall Street Journal, The Washington Post, Fox News, and many, many more. This is a very fun conversation. So now, let's hack. Caroline Carter. What if you could educate yourself, learn, make yourself a better person, and also share that experience with somebody you love? Well, right now, with Masterclass, you can. Because Masterclass lets you learn from the best with exclusive access to online classes taught by masters of their craft. You can learn the art of negotiation by Chris Voss, the best-selling author of Never Split the Difference, one of my favorite books of the last couple of years. Or you can learn the art of conversation with Dr. Jane Goodall. Gordon Ramsay teaches cooking. Anna Wintour teaches creativity and leadership. Anything you want to learn, you can learn from the people at the top of their craft. Plus, remember how I said you could share this experience? Well, for a limited time, when you buy one annual Masterclass all-access pass for yourself, you'll get another one to give a gift for free. Go to masterclass.com/hack to get started with this limited time offer. Don't miss your opportunity to get the best deal of the year. Buy one all-access pass to Masterclass and get one free to give as a gift. Go to masterclass.com/hack. Think back to the last time you called a company and had to explain your issue to several reps before you even felt heard. It's annoying. It's really, really, truly annoying. And as a wise man once said, if you hate something, don't do it too. So don't put your own customers through this. Because if you're like me, and if you're like your valued customers, you don't have time to waste on the phone. Well, neither do customer service and salespeople. But because of bad phone systems, they end up wasting 2 to 3 minutes on every call. Now imagine if your support team could accurately anticipate customer issues without making them repeat themselves. With AirCall's many software integrations, customer service reps know a customer's last order and order status before they pick up the phone. And the best part, all this automation will save your time and your customers minutes on each call. And those minutes definitely add up. So here's how you can do this. You can get set up with a no-risk 7-day free trial of AirCall in less than 3 minutes. No credit card needed. Simply visit aircall.io/hack to access your 7-day free trial of AirCall and make your team's phone calls as efficient as possible. Once again, that's aircall.io/hack. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And today we have a very, very, very special guest. Caroline, welcome to the show.
Thanks, John. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so happy that you're here. And I'm really, truly looking forward to this. So thanks,
me too.
Let's jump into it. All right, Caroline, you have several titles that you fall under, from author to home transition expert to entrepreneur. Today we are talking to Caroline the Entrepreneur. So let's start here. Caroline, okay. As an entrepreneur, can you tell me, what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
Oh, that's a good question. I think that the one thing that I've done consistently well since the beginning of starting a business was to be a truth teller, but not just a truth teller, but a truth teller with a strategic plan. Maybe I'll add one more thing. I always deliver on my promises. I'm very careful what I promise, but I deliver. I show up, which is more than a lot of people, I think, are able to say. So I think that's the one thing that I do consistently. I'm not scared of having the difficult conversations in my space. And if you know anything about real estate, and I'm not a realtor, but I partner with them and advocate for sellers, the difficult conversation makes a lot of people shy away from really, really engaging with their clients and ultimately helping them, because it's very emotional for people. So I don't want to stray from your question, but I think that having the courage to be a truth teller, provide a strategic plan for people and how they're going to really capitalize on their asset and deliver on the promise that I make to clients. I think that's what's really helped me to establish a brand, stand out.
Okay, so when I first heard you say, be a truth teller with a strategic plan, I thought you were, and maybe you are, but I thought the strategic plan was you, like being a truth teller, but in a very strategic way for your own ends.
Well, that's a very interesting point, John. Obviously, there's a little bit of that in there, right? Who wants to be an entrepreneur that doesn't build a business and make money? That's not really the definition of an entrepreneur. When I refer to truth telling, I mean that in my space, real estate sales, residential real estate sales specifically, you're talking about one of the largest assets that people own, okay? Their primary residence. And when they go to sell that residence, there is a huge conversation I need to have around the emotionality of moving and moving on, which affects every decision a seller will make over the course of their transition process. Let me break that down. If a realtor views your property, the first thing someone wants to know is, okay, what can I get for my house? The last thing they want to talk about is what they're going to need to do in terms of fast, easy, and inexpensive updates to create a listing that today's buyers are interested in, right? That's going to take them time and money to be able to produce that listing that today's buyer goes, oh, hey, that's what I want. So very few people are able to list their house without looking at it from a non-emotional point of view and assess, hey, I need to recarpet or I need to paint or the gutters are falling off the house. I need to address these issues. So it becomes very emotional, right? I don't know if you've bought or sold homes yourself. And if you have, you can really relate to this. When you're talking about packaging an asset like a home, people are responding to it personally as if it's their house. Does that make sense? As opposed to looking at it like an asset, like stock or bonds or something else. All of a sudden they make it personal. It's not personal. It's a business transaction. So when I mean to say I am a truth teller, I have the difficult conversations that realtors do not want to have with their clients to say, you know what? I'm sorry, the brown shag carpeting that the dog has used as his bathroom area needs to be removed and replaced. It's not about anything other than polishing the assets and giving the client the education and the plan. Well, the education to understand why he needs to replace it, right? And the plan on how am I going to do it in a fiscally responsible way.
Right. Okay, so that makes sense. And yes, I have sold some houses. And yes, I don't know if it's the same. So I'm from Canada and I'm in Canada. And up here, they're working hard to like separate real estate agents from selling all houses, meaning that you can sell your own house through some websites and stuff now. And the hardest part with dealing with people with selling their own houses is that they always value it as way more. You're right, because it's their home. It's their family's house. And right. You walk in and you're just like you can't negotiate with that because it's no longer a business transaction.
Right. That's exactly right. And it's the same here in the US. You see the real estate industry changing rapidly. But from my perspective, the more it changes, the more it stays the same, because we're not actually having the conversation that we need to have, which is, how do we educate and inform consumers about how to package their home, right? So that it will speak to today's buyers. That's whether or not you live in Canada, the US. Okay, that's number one. And number two, they need the tools to do it. They need to know what to do. So, I mean, this is part of a longer conversation probably, but essentially I'm taking on an industry that is grudgingly accepting all of these new changes, from technology to platform to how we buy and sell houses. And really at the heart of this is the consumer, who more often than not, I've found over the past 15 years, leaves money on the table because they don't know any better, or they make decisions based on their emotional backstory. Well, I'm not gonna, you know, I know the tree in the front yard is dead, but great Uncle Paul planted that, and that's where the kids had a swing. Who cares? Uncle Paul's dead. You're trying to sell the house. You know what I mean? Like, it's gonna be someone else's problem. And buyers today are extremely, extremely conscious and verbal about their wants, their needs, and what they view as the perfect listing. And the problem with sellers is they don't understand that selling a property is really not about them. It's about the buyer. And the buyer's really in the driver's seat. So when I say that I'm a truth teller, I'm able to non-emotionally assess property and provide a strategic plan, a step-by-step plan for these consumers to address issues that present red flags to buyers so that ultimately they're able to make the best use of their time and money and maximize the return on their investment, which is their home. But we talk about it like a house.
Right. And you seem very results oriented to me.
Totally. 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 Because in my industry, it is a very, very small niche. Most people say, oh, you're a home stager. Well, you know what home staging is, right, John? So you...
I do.
Okay.
Big cookies home, right before the big...
Exactly. Here's the problem. The transition process, transitioning from home to home, is truly a discoverable process, of which home staging, meaning the actual physical home staging, moving of furniture, supplementing, lighting, carpets, that's only one portion of the home transition process. Let's back up for a second. The home transition process starts from the moment you decide to sell your home and is not complete until you unpack your last box in the new home. Now, what does that actually mean? It means that in order for you to present your house in a way that's going to resonate with today's buyers, you are going to need to look at your own house, right? Not emotionally. You are going to need to purge, sort, donate, dump. You are going to need to make decisions over the course of this process about 1,000 different things, large and small, right? You are also going to, once you prepare your home to sell, then you're in this sort of dead man zone where it's on the market, and then you receive an offer. So the second part of the process is the third part of the process, which is coordinating and supervising the move, is the third part of the process. Throughout that entire time, which for some people it's weeks, for some people it's months, and for some it's years, you will make 1,000 decisions, if not more. And it is a literal roller coaster ride for most families. And the interesting thing about this is that the process that we're talking about, this strategic process of how do I make the most out of my time and money when selling my asset, it literally applies to everyone, regardless of price point or location, because we all have to go through this process. There's no way around it, John, only through it. And for some people, it's brutal because they don't understand the process in total. They also don't understand where they can take more control and responsibility of the process, right? How to make decisions, how those decisions will affect the outcome.
Right. But we don't know what we don't know. And so what's the hardest part of selling your services to people who don't know that they need your services.
Someone with an unchangeable, outdated mindset. Someone who says things like, and we all know these people, if you suggest replacing the carpet, well, look, I'm sorry. We've always had that carpet. I'm just going to get it cleaned. Getting it cleaned is not really going to remove the pet urine and the smell. So meaning they take things personally. They have been successful in other areas of their life. And I am used to dealing with people at the top level of the playing field in their particular niche. And they are used to making decisions. They are used to being the one telling others what to do. They're not used to being on the receiving end. But when it works successfully, they understand, they stay in their lane, and they allow another expert to walk in and say, look, I get the fact that your house is $12 million or $2 million or $1 million or whatever it is. Here's why you've suffered several price reductions. Here's why you're priced too high vis-a-vis buyer expectations. And they're willing to take that education and trust me, who has the experience in this vertical, and allow the process to play out, because there are no guarantees in real estate. You know that, John. And there are very few people, aside from myself, who are in this particular space talking about empowering sellers to take more responsibility for the presentation of their asset, to take more control, rather than paying attention solely to your realtor, who may or may not suggest anything based on their own biases.
Right. But they're also potentially the people who introduce you to the client?
They are. They're the gatekeepers. Now, the internet is really changing our ability, my ability, to connect directly with consumers. But that's the long game. That's a larger process. You know, I recently wrote a book, as you know, that details the process. It demystifies the process of selling your home and moving. It tells the consumer in bite-sized pieces, here's what you need to pay attention to. Forget the rest. Because, John, everybody's an expert today, right? Everybody has an alternative point of view. All I care about is the seller. I care about the seller, them understanding what they need to know, why they need to know it, and how to avoid leaving money on the table and losing their mind in the process. That's my little space. And that's really all I care about, because it's just one part of a life's transition. But the interesting thing is, Americans, I don't know about Canadians, Americans move 11.7 times over the course of their lifetime.
Wow.
That's more than any other culture in the world. So this is something that we all experience multiple times over the course of our lives. Wouldn't it be great if consumers had a better awareness of the opportunity for them and the part that they potentially could play that affects the successful or affects the outcome? If they could take more responsibility to create a more successful outcome financially, emotionally, and physically. So that's my jam.
And your one thing is being a truth teller with a strategic plan. Now let's flip this, Caroline. Sure. And can you tell me, what is something in your business that you are not good at?
Oh, how much time do we have? I have literally made a daily goal of failing forward as many times as I possibly can. So, but I'm not scared to wake up the next day and do it all again. And what I mean by failing forward every day is the fact that I know that I am getting closer to what I need to know to answer my question, whatever it is, whether it's reaching my consumer or how to educate in a way that other platforms are paying attention, whatever it is, whatever aspect of the business I'm thinking about or working on. Owning your own business, as you know, John, is 24/7, and you better love what you're doing. I love creating those aha moments where people go, wow, I had no idea, but boy, I'm glad I met you. Because you didn't have your hand in my back pocket. The amount of money for your services was not tied to the sale of my home. You didn't get paid anyway just for showing up. So you know, it's a little bit of a different, it's different for me. I have to embrace failure every day, large and small, multiple times a day. So.
But you sound like you're good at it. So what's one thing, just, I'm going to just drag this out of you, Caroline.
Yeah, fine.
One thing that you feel you aren't good at? Like, are you the details person? Are you the big picture?
No. Thanks for getting me back on track. No, I am definitely, I'm the front story. There are other people who are the back story. The front story is the face of the company, the spokesperson, the idea person that's in my little world, the idea person, the creator. I'm also extremely accountable, but there are others that can do a lot of the things I can't do or am not good at. Let's talk about different platforms in which the message is delivered. I mean, to me, that's minutia. When I feel myself getting caught in the weeds, I have to literally step back and say, stay in your lane. Because I do know what I'm good at. And I am good at delivering the results, educating others to create the results that I expect them to have when they follow this process. I'm really good at alternating between being a tour leader and a cheerleader. Because, John, in my business, people need help. They don't know what to do, where to start, who to talk to. It's very, very confusing for them. So I would say, as long as I stay out of the minutiae, the day-to-day, I have a very, very good handle on where every dollar of this business is spent, but I don't get caught in the minutiae. I allow others to do what they do best, and I stick with what I do best.
I love it. I knew we'd get there. And I like this, I'm the front story of the business, and there's people that work the back story. I've never heard it put in those terms, and it makes it very clear. I like it. So this can lead us into, Caroline, a very loose term, but projects. So the project section of the show, where this can be a marketing project, it can be a sales project, it can be something from the back end, anything you want it to be. It can be the new book if you wish it to be. But I would just like to know, as somebody who, you've been in business for almost 15 years at this point, mm-hmm. with Done in a Day, you obviously have a lot on your plate, a lot going on, and a lot of places you want to go. How do you sort of sift through or distill down all these ideas of things that you could spend your time and resources on? And then how do you distill it down to deciding that, yes, this is the project that not only me, but people around me should also spend their time, energy, and resources on?
Okay, again, that's a great question. So with Done in a Day, which is the actual service part of the firm, which is currently or has been located over the last 15 years in the DC, Maryland, and Virginia area, I focused on working with the top 1% of agents. It was always my goal when I started the business. The reason I did that is because I believe that 1% of agents would always be open to new ideas that would help them increase their business. That's why I approached them. My ulterior motive was because they are the gatekeeper for the client. And I needed to get in front of the client. They're my sole focus. The realtor is the vehicle for me to get in front of the client. I decided on projects based on how much control they needed to have, or let me flip that, how much control, creative control, I was going to be able to have, okay? And whether or not this particular client had a fixed mindset. If I walked in to the initial consultation and this particular client had a fixed mindset, I knew, or if there were red flags that presented, I knew that this would probably not be a successful project. I'm not talking financially. I'm talking about working through the whole process with someone. Listen, you get down and deep in someone's underwear drawer. To do this process effectively, let's go back to what I said. You are really helping someone sort and sift through their entire life to dump excess baggage while you're designing the house to sell, right? So you get very intimate with people. You're in their closets and you're in their bathrooms and you're talking to them about, should we keep Great Aunt Trudy's pitcher, meaning water pitcher, because it's been in the family for 200 years, no one wants it. Okay, so you have to walk through with these people how to value it. Guess what? There is no value for Great Aunt Trudy's picture or pitcher. So you have to walk through so many intimate details of someone's life. So having said that, my goal has always been to get directly to the consumer. I would focus my time on the top 1% of agents, okay, in order to do that, because I was potentially hitting a higher price point in the listing market. Not that they needed any more help than anybody else. It's just where my services were going to be more well received because there was disposable income, if that makes sense.
It does make sense.
Okay. In terms of where we are today, I'm transitioning my own life to Florida. I'm speaking to you from Florida today. It's 80 degrees. Wow. Yes. And just closing a chapter after 15 years in the DC, Maryland, and Virginia area, because it's time, you know, for the second or third time in the life of the business, it's time to leverage up. It's time to deliver the message to a wider audience on a larger platform that's going to help educate consumers wherever they are. They're everywhere. The National Association of Realtors report was that 4.99, almost 5 million homes, existing homes sold as of December 2018. Now, did every single one of these families make money on their investment, have a great experience? It's the basic dinner table conversation when someone's like, oh, you just moved. How was it? Oh my God. You ever heard those? People love to talk about those. So I prevent them, meaning I arm people with the education of exactly what they need to know to avoid all of these traps. But anyway, so we're moving to a larger platform. And in terms of my time, right now it's the end of the year. So like most entrepreneurs, you know, I'm looking at the past year and I'm looking at the future year. And I'm even looking big picture, huge picture. How do I deliver this message that's going to really resonate with the consumers who need to hear it? Unlike improving your life or something very general, my consumers really only need me when they're selling a house or moving, right? But since they do it 11 times over the course of their lifetime, I've built a business literally based on referrals because of that statistic. So again, it's focusing on how do I quickly and easily, because I'm all about fast, a fast deliverable, how can I really get this information in the hands of the people who really need it? Whether you're in Seattle or Dubuque or Orlando, this information that I've shared is literally based on the thousands of homes I've worked in and the things that we have done to each and every home, most of which a seller can do themselves. So why wouldn't they take advantage of this information?
Correct. And so as people starting businesses, as service providers, as freelancers, as consultants, many, many, many of us want to, or whether we start with it or not, we end up wanting to have that goal of working with the top 1% of our market who could refer us or who could be our clients. There's better clients, there's more money to be made, all of those things. But how did you, like, meaning most of us have that in our mind, yet 99.9% of us will never be able to attain that or get there. We don't even know how to go about that.
Well,
so I want to know.
Sure you do. Sure you do, John. You just pick up the phone and call them. I mean, half the battle is identifying who it is you want to talk to. For me, I was not interested in the traditional route. I didn't have time. When I started this business, I was recently divorced, single mother with three little kids, and I had to figure it out. And I had to figure it out quickly. So when I envisioned, okay, what can I do? Where do my natural skills and abilities lie? And what would someone be willing to pay for? Okay. So I had to figure out, okay, what do I naturally love doing? What am I naturally good at? And I focused on a couple of things. And then I said, okay, let me look around and see who might be interested in those services. And what I did was very strategic in nature, and was just isolate the top people in the industry I was going after and literally just continue to call them until they met with me. I didn't have a choice.
The simplicity of it. So your back's against the wall. You didn't have a choice. Like you said, you have to do it. And that is a huge motivator. That's a huge push for a lot of people to make us do things that we typically wouldn't do. How, Caroline, once you start having success and your back is no longer against the wall, how do you keep that pressure on yourself?
I think that some of us are born with it. Let me be honest and say, John, it never occurred to me in a million years, all the conversations I've had with myself over the years, never thought a business would be in there, ever. Never even occurred to me. Having said that, I don't do anything halfway. I'm a little OCD. I have an addictive personality. I can become obsessed with certain things. I have laser focus when I need it or want it. I had the time. I didn't have the money, but I had the energy and I had nothing to lose. So I was all in from the beginning. And sure, we all have those days, especially when you feel as if I'm trying to change the conversation in a huge industry right now. We talk at sellers. We're not empowering them. We're not talking with them. For that matter, the National Association of Realtors, I don't want to go sideways on this, but it's important to note. The National Association of Realtors has 1.3 million members, John, and every single one of them is an entrepreneur, right? Mm-hmm. That's the good news, is that there's room for all these entrepreneurs. The bad news, they're all doing their own thing. From a consumer point of view, if I'm selling my house, I do not get consistency in terms of advice, value, right? Even though there are professional standards, it's up to the individual team. So how do I know that that agent, that realtor, truly does have my best interest at heart? The answer, not all of them do. Many of them do. And it's a tremendous resource. But boy, I would not trust but verify. That's what I want to say. So I think that when you are faced with opportunities in your life, you have to, where you're making big life changes. Like I've literally just walked out of my life in DC. My littlest one was ready to go off to college. That was the deal 11 years ago when we bought the house. And I said, we will get my son through high school in this house. And then it will be time to sell it and move on. And that's what we did without emotion. So when you're faced with life changes, you have to have those brutal conversations with yourself that really aren't about the emotion, the backstory surrounding all of the emotion of, oh, but it's the home that my children grew up in and it's this and this and this. No, you have to, if you really want to make a difference, you have to be willing to literally jump in, which is why I packed three little suitcases and I'm down in Florida working with my marketing director, living in her guest house, talking about the next phase of development and scaling the business.
And so this leads us to, and as much as I'm enjoying the conversation, Caroline, we do have to wrap up on it, but this leads us really well into this final question, which, I mean, with this big transition happening in your life, and you've been in business for yourself now for almost 15 years, you have a book, but there still seems to be this place where us as entrepreneurs, as dreamers, Caroline, which you might or might not be able to relate to this, but we're always looking forward for our successes. So no matter what we accomplish personally and professionally, from the outside, we can look successful and be successful, but from the inside, it's always when you hit that next metric, whether that's a sales goal in 2 months or you get to stand on that stage in 6 months from now, whatever it is, Caroline, you and I both know, seconds before you hit that, you're going to just set bigger, loftier goals into the future.
Exactly.
I agree. We need those goals and we need to be pushing forward. But rather than doing that for the next couple of minutes, I would love it, Caroline, if you could stop and turn around and look behind you at the entire journey. We've talked through it, but I'm sure we've missed a ton of the highs, lows, wins, and losses. Right. So can you just tell me, Caroline, how do you feel about this entire journey up until this moment?
I can honestly say I'm surprised. I'm surprised that I am in the position that I'm in today. But I believe that there's a reason why I'm here, and I have a message to deliver. We talked about that, trying to shift the conversation in a huge industry to everybody says they're client-focused. I really am client-focused in trying to empower the seller. What would I say looking back? I would say an entrepreneur's, what do I want to say? Their knee-jerk reaction is to do it themselves. Why? Because they can. It's their business, their obsession, their message, and it's 24/7. If you love what you do, you're very lucky. The biggest issue that I have faced is not surrounding myself early enough. Well, let's say staying in your lane. Not surrounding yourself early enough. I have not surrounded myself early enough with people who are smarter in complementary areas to be able to scale faster to a wider audience. I wish I had done that 14 years ago because I'm very confident in what I do and the expertise that I have. All the other areas, the backstory as we talked about, not so much. And I wish I had the foresight to believe in the strength of community, reaching out to others. Well, no one was really talking about this message years ago. I was kind of the only one. I was community of one. No, I really was. It was kind of lonely. But to understand the strength of community and to understand how important it is to not just be the one with the vision, but the plan. And it's not just all about your plan. It's about how to get your message without you being chief cook and bottle washer for everything 24/7 and bringing on people who allow you to recharge. You know what I mean? By living a more balanced life. Not that entrepreneurs can ever really talk about balance because I don't think any of us are balanced. We have to really, really work on that. But it at least gives us the opportunity to balance our health and wellness with our brand and our relationships to make sure that we're not going to burn out, because I've done that a couple times too, where you literally feel like someone's been playing whack-a-mole with your head and you just have to step back and go, okay, wait a minute. What is it that I need to change here? So I think that's what I'd say, to surround yourself with community, big thinkers, big, huge thinkers. And hire the people who are going to support the message that you believe is important enough to deliver.
And the message that you feel right now is important to deliver is this one of your new book, Smart Moves.
Yeah, Smart Moves.
We've got to talk about it sort of throughout the conversation, Caroline, but can you tell the listener out there who the book's for and how it can help them?
Absolutely. It's for anybody selling a home in any location and at any price point. The most valuable part of the book is it quiets the noise. It highlights only what you need to know, why you need to know it, and the dangers of allowing your emotions, your physical exhaustion, and financial black hole to dictate the quality of your decision. So essentially, it lays out the entire process from deciding to sell through getting your house ready to sell, through the move. A lot of the basics, you know, the moving industry is more antiquated than most industries out there. But it's all done with, here's what you need to know. I compiled this into a book that is very user-friendly, kind of funny, but the topic is not so funny because it really truly is a roller coaster ride for most people. They don't consider selling and moving in one continuous process, which it should be. They're the two separate aspects of the same entire process. But people typically talk about selling and moving. So really what the process is about is prepare your house to sell, okay, for top dollar, while you're also preparing for a move. So it's really, again, the subtitle is How to Save Time and Money. It really is all about that. It is a very quick read. It is just chock full of what you need to know, why you need to know it, and what to do about it. And I would encourage anybody at any point if you're considering selling now or a year from now, educate yourself. There's too much noise on the internet. There are too many competing experts telling you what to do and how to do it. Not to mention what your particular realtor will tell you, or what do I need to do even if I'm going to sell it as a FSBO? If I'm going to allow someone, you know, iBuyers are big. So what if I'm going to approach an iBuyer? How do I know I'm getting the value out of my home? What can I do even to an iBuyer to create value, right? So that I'm going to make the most money on my home. So I would say for $1,699, it's going to be the best money you ever spend, because it will help you to non-emotionally look at your own asset and examine the reason why you may be making emotional decisions surrounding a product that really has no room for emotion because it's a business transaction.
And if you want to spend that $1,699 to get this education, you go to Amazon and right. You can find Smart Moves there by Caroline Carter. I'll also link to it in the show notes on Hack the Entrepreneur for you. And if you want to learn more about Caroline, you can go to carolinecarter.com is the main sort of hub of all of this. And she's also on all the social medias, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, those places. And I'll also link to those in the show notes. So they're easy awesome. For you to find when you're done walking, jogging, working out, whatever it is you're doing at this moment. Caroline, thank you so much for stopping by.
Oh, John, sharing. I was so thrilled to be here. As I said before we went on air, I think that you really, really do a great job of getting to the heart of issues and allowing your guests to really share without diluting the message. And I really appreciated being here today.
It was absolutely my pleasure and I had a blast. So thank you once again. And just keep doing what you're doing, Caroline, because it is awesome to watch.
Thank you, John. You too. Appreciate you bringing all these experts together for us.
Caroline, thank you so much for joining me in this conversation. I had a blast. We had to work a couple times to get down to the nitty-gritty and get to the answers we were looking for. But I thank you for opening up. It was a lot of fun. And so I had to go through. I had to do what I have had to do all year, all decade, actually, which is go through this conversation and from all of it, pick one thing. And it's hard. It's not always easy, but I did it. And now it's time. Are you ready? For one last time this decade? All right, let's do it. Let's find the hack.
Let's talk about different platforms in which the message is delivered. I mean, to me, that's minutia. When I feel myself getting caught in the weeds, I have to literally step back and say, stay in your lane. Because I do know what I'm good at.
And that's the hack. Caroline. I love this. I think if there was one common thread or one hack, if you will, that I would love to pull out of this year, and there's been a lot of people, we've talked about it in this way. And I mean, I do sort of frame questions in that way to get to this because I know how important it is. We spend so much time trying to find our strengths or trying to learn new things, which I agree, we have to. But there's a unique ability that you need to gain, I think, to achieve and accomplish the things that you want to. And that unique ability is really coming to terms with and realizing, becoming self-aware of your shortcomings, the things that you aren't that good at. And not that you maybe couldn't get better at them, that's irrelevant. You don't need to be good at everything. Because there are some things that innately we are all good at certain things. Some people are good at organization. Some people are just all scattered but have crazy ideas. Some people just can execute on things. We're all different and we need to come to terms with that. And we need to nourish those things. And yes, again, I agree. We need to learn things. We need to grow in ways and we can always get better at stuff. But becoming self-aware enough to realize what it is you are actually good at innately and where you belong in this chain or where you belong within a business, this is an ability that I think will take you to places that you've always wanted to be. And so as we head out of the year, as we head out of the decade, I'd like you to go with that. And with that, I thank you, Caroline, because that was awesome. All right, so You've heard this before. You'll hear it this last time. For this time, hacktheentrepreneur.com. It's the website. I hope you head over there. Check it out. I'll get Caroline's show notes up there. Everything we talked about will be linked there for you, so it's easy to find. And there's a bunch of other goodies over there for you. And make sure you jump onto that email list. It's the place to be. All right. I thank you. I'll thank you again. It's been great. Reach out. Say happy holidays. Say Merry Christmas. Say Happy New Year. Whatever you want to do. You can always reach me at email if you wish, or on Twitter. Email's easy. You know my name, John. The website. It's easy to put together, right? All right. It's been fun. I will leave you now. And I do truly, truly, truly thank you. And I hope to see you in the next decade, in the next year. All right. Thank you. And until next time, please keep hacking the entrepreneur.